ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Friday, October 5th, 2018. I'm Kevin Larame, and of course, on the line, Dwayne Rollins. Dwayne, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm disappointed, Kevin, that we didn't talk about Mean Girls Day. We didn't wear pink on it, so I'd like to apologize to everyone who was expecting us to have an entire pink podcast on Mean Girls Day, which was Tuesday.
No, the third.
What's Mean Girls Day? I've never heard about that before.
You've never heard of Mean Girls Day?
No.
Oh, you try make you don't want to make Fetch happen?
What? What are you talking about? Is that a movie?
It's a movie from the 90s.
No, I never saw that, so...
Okay. All right.
It's the weekend preview. We're going to look at the Major League Soccer games, especially the ones with a standings ramification associated with them. And, of course, we'll take a look at the Premier League schedule for the weekend. Sunday is going to be a cracker of a day in the Premier League, Dwayne, and we'll talk about this in a few minutes. But let's start tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, at Stade Saputo, the Montreal Impact versus the Columbus Crew. For Montreal, it's do or die, literally.
Three games left, it's must win. Wouldn't you say so? I mean, yeah. You know, obviously, I mean, it can't be eliminated, but I don't believe. But I would think that it would be. Obviously, if DC wins later that day, or tomorrow, the next day, I should say, that's going to put a lot of pressure on the Impact. In fact, they'd fall behind them at that particular point. Hell, even if one of New England or Toronto were to win, you'd start to worry that you might not finish above them. I don't know if that's going to be in a playoff spot, but yeah, the Impact need, with only three games left, to get a full 3 points, especially at home.
Well, at least New England's playing Atlanta in Atlanta, so we can pretty fairly say that Atlanta's got a big, big chance of winning that one. And that's the second game on Saturday afternoon, Atlanta and New England, 3:30 p.m. Eastern. Then Toronto-Vancouver, an all-Canadian affair. In Toronto, TFC Vancouver Whitecaps. You know, yesterday, Dwayne, it was announced that Alphonso Davies has topped the list of MLSsoccer.com of the, I guess it's 22 now. It used to be the 24 under 24. I guess it's 22 under 22 now. And Alphonso Davies is number one. And Bayern Munich tweeted out, we can't wait to have you. And then you have a bunch of Vancouver fans just crying in the comments. So, yeah, it's an all-Canadian affair. And I guess the worst thing that could happen is a 0-0 draw.
Well, 1-1 or 2-2 or 4-4 or 8-8. Well, 8-8 would be fun. That would be an enjoyable day at the park if you're going to be eliminated. Yeah. You might as well get eliminated with a 16-goal thriller. But, no, in terms of the Alphonso Davies winning the 22 under, that's the second time a Canadian has topped the list in the last 5 years. So that's, I think, something to celebrate a little bit from a Canadian standpoint.
Who was the other one?
Kyle Larin.
Oh, Larin, of course, yeah.
Because it was the 24 under 24 at that time. And look, MLS quite rightfully reduced it to 22. It should be 20 in my mind. 20 under 20 would have a more relevance to its list. I think that would be a true indicator of how the world works. 24 under 24 was ridiculous because who the hell thinks a 24-year-old is a prospect? No, they're pretty much in their peak at that point. So that was a silly list that they did.
At 24, Messi and Ronaldo had already Ronaldo had already went to a few clubs and performed in the Champions League. And Messi had, at 24, was already like the best scorer in Barcelona history or something.
Yeah. In terms of Davies winning it, though, as I tweeted out yesterday, my cat could have picked that. And my cat has been living at a farm upstate for the past couple of years, if you follow. So what I'm saying is my cat, who is no longer with me, could have picked it from beyond the grave. So it's an obvious. And Tyler Adams was probably an obvious number two choice as well. True. After that, it gets kind of debatable. But yeah, that's the talent list right there.
The farm upstate. No, he's not gone. He just went to a better place. He went to a farm upstate, a sanctuary where he's gonna live out his life. Yeah, no, he's
not. How come the you always tell the kid that they took the dog to the farm upstate? You know that when I can still remember this, Mom, if you're out there listening to this, and she's not, but I remember coming home from school when I was five once, and I had a dog called Lady, and I had a rabbit called Thumper, and both of the dog called Lady and the rabbit went Thumper went to said farm upstate. because my mother didn't like animals. And instead of taking the animals to the new home and that we were moving to, they sent them to a farm upstate. Mom, that wasn't very nice. This just got dark.
Yeah, this got real dark. Or maybe Lady was hungry and she ate Thumper. That's probable, too. Philadelphia versus Minnesota United. Montreal and Philly is not a battle, really, anymore. Philly has that cushion to at least secure a playoff spot for sure. They're almost closer to Columbus than Montreal is closer to Philly. But Philly wants to continue in the good run, becoming hot or at least having success late in the season to go into the playoff or the wild card game or the play-in game, call it whatever you like, in a good situation. So Philly, Minnesota at 7:30 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, it's look. At this point in time, I'm looking at the standings, and you almost would rather finish sixth than you would rather finish in that Philly-Columbus. But it looks like Philly and Columbus are likely, unless Philly can pull Columbus in to get in that. So I'm not too sure, other than a home advantage, what you want to do there. Although home advantage does matter. Philly, to me, is – and I never thought I would have said this at the start of the year or even in the middle of the year, but they seem to be trending upwards for once. And
wow.
And finally, after several years of sort of floundering around, maybe they've got it going. Although it's hard to imagine – a team that isn't Atlanta or the Red Bulls representing the East in terms of the MLS Cup final this year. You never know in MLS playoffs, but certainly I think DC or Sir Philly has a chance to win that play-in game the way they've been playing. Although that said, you know, you look at what they did in the US Open Cup final where it was all on a plate for them and well, go Houston, CCL.
It was all on a plate and they laid an egg. That was 3-0 last week, and it was not even close. FC Dallas, Orlando. I have a little message for Orlando fans right now. Don't worry. It's almost over.
Well, until they get new ownership or new direction, I don't know if it's ever going to be over. As I said, since the TFC moves south. And
TFC not south.
TFC bad south, the clown south, so to speak, if I want to talk a bit about Montreal folks out there. Yeah, it's it's kind of a strange little thing. I did, you know, kind of pick them to win the wooden spoon, as I like to point out, as much as possible. And I was basing that on their ownership and not really their roster. And it turns out that something's rotten there. But it is almost over. I would say it's almost over for any team below that red line right now. It's you're almost looking ahead. You look at, we'll talk about TFC in a bit, but you look at any team that's sort of struggling and you go, it's kind of maybe time to think about what you need to do to improve in the offseason as opposed to what you can do to win forward here. Throw the kids out there, see what you have.
Hashtag play the kids. Sporting Kansas City, LA Galaxy. LA Galaxy wants to keep their chance of a playoff place alive. Sporting Kansas City wants to win the West. Kansas City at home is never an easy game. And even though Zlatan might finish the season with 20 goals or so, even more, LA Galaxy won't make the playoff in my mind, and Kansas City will beat them tomorrow at 8:30 p.m.
Well, Kansas City, I know you've been high on Kansas City for many years now, obviously, but the MLS Cup final could be held there. This is a team that every year has a chance. They remind me a little bit of what Salt Lake was a few years ago. Salt Lake has taken a drop back since the ownership moved on. The Christ years, the Bill Manning years, however you want to put them there. They had a good thing going for several years at MLS 2.0. They sort of slipped back. But Kansas City kind of reminds me of the same thing now. They're never the best team on paper, but they're always competitive there, and they're always well coached, and they're always well managed, and they always find a way. So for sure, in terms of their chances there, that's yeah, absolutely.
Colorado LAFC. If you're LAFC, you need a win there just because it's so close in the standings in the Eastern, in the Western Conference, that a win on the road will give LAFC more of a cushion, because you don't know what could happen. You can still slip away, even though that there's more margin of error right now than there was a few weeks ago, with Vancouver not winning and not getting the points when it was time, and Portland and Seattle settling their playoff spot. But LAFC has to fancy their chances at Dick's Sporting Goods Park just because, well, it's Colorado.
Yeah, in Colorado. Although Colorado's better at home, obviously, at home. It's they an absolute should win. And LAFC has not been as strong in the second half of the season as they were in the first half. So they do want to get things moving in the right direction for that playoff. Go back to the Galaxy, the other LA team. I sort of meant to mention this a second ago. It's Zlatan. He might get 20 goals as you score, as you said, but has it been a successful year? I don't know.
What do we remember? Do you remember any of those? Well, okay, the first game where he scored from half field.
And the goal he scored against Toronto.
Yeah, but we remember as well the antics that he has done. The slap in the Michael Petrasso's face, well, back of the head. The few bad plays he did. His comments on microphones, literally throwing his teammates under the bus. And we have seen teams that are good as a team, not just a bunch of individuals, go far in Major League Soccer. And we have seen bunch of individual talented players not go as far together because they don't have that team aspect. And I for me, LA Galaxy falls in the latter category of a bunch of few talented players. And I say few because there's not that many. There's Alessandrini, then Zlatan, obviously, and a few others. And then there's a big drop-off, but this is not a team. This is not a cohesive unit. There's no tactics. There's no strategy. There's no link-up play. This is basically just moments of brilliance that gets goals, and those goals are not enough to get results.
Well, it's MLS 2.0 in the sense that you have superstars that can game-break, and if you have the game-breakers out there, then back then you didn't have enough depth. You didn't have those TAM players that were able to make up for those massive gaps in quality between the top end and the low end, right? And that doesn't exist, those massive gaps anymore. I would include Sweden's success at the World Cup, and I do think you'd have to call Sweden's World Cup a success, and it's part of like the sort of strike against Latan. It's a team concept was better than having the superstar there, right? I mean, it's a bit of a stretch. Sure, we're talking about MLS, but nonetheless,
I was going to say Sweden is the Red Bulls, and I guess Sweden with Latan is the Galaxy.
Yeah, no, pretty much. It's yeah, I don't know whether you call it a success or not this season. I think maybe both of us are hinting that towards it's not. If they don't make the playoffs, it certainly isn't. And the Galaxy, look, I've been doing this for a while now, the whole podcasting thing on MLS. And for a long time, the Galaxy were like the sun rising in the East, that you would say this is just going to happen day after day. The Galaxy are going to be good. Well, I don't know. The Galaxy's not that good anymore right now, and maybe the sun is rising in the west when it comes to MLS, and there's been a change in direction. That would be amazing. But
and they're still only 2 points behind Real Salt Lake. LA Galaxy is seventh right now in the Western Conference with 44 points, 3 games remaining to play. Real Salt Lake is sixth with 46 points with 3 games remaining. Seattle is fifth with 47, and Portland is fourth with 31.
They're chasing a team in RSL that's young, that's team concept, that doesn't have superstars, doesn't really have the ability to bring a guy like Zlatan in. It's sort of telling, right? Like it's a juxtaposition between those two sides, and here we are.
And Real Salt Lake is playing Portland on Saturday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Pacific, at the Rio Tinto Stadium in Utah. Real Salt Lake does have a good home field advantage because of the altitude and probably the weather as well. And RSL will face Portland. If RSL beats Portland, they will overtake Portland in the standings. Portland has 48 points, 13 wins. Real Salt Lake has 13 wins with 46 points. 3 points difference will make RSL in fourth. So you do have the potential of a real 6 points game for Salt Lake. With a win, they solidify their chances of making the playoffs.
No, for sure. You know, and flipping to that, I liked RSL, and they were my dark horse pick at the start of the year, right? And they sort of struggled to start, and they're not exactly, you know, tearing it up, but neither is Portland for that matter. So this is an interesting game in terms of seeing exactly where these two teams stand and whether one of these teams was for real or not. Kevin, let's segue into that final game. Now, it's very rare in the final game on Saturday, it's very rare that you have a Huddersfield-Manchester City kind of matchup in MLS.
That's true.
But I'm not too sure. Let's just give San Jose's form chart just for S&Gs. Let's give their form chart here. Okay, so this you ready? Loss, 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 loss. So I don't think that's very good. I'm not a mathematician, but 0 points out of a possible, what is that, 5 times 5 is 25. I don't think that, or 3 times, so 15. 5 points. I don't know what I'm talking about here. 15. Yeah, 15. I don't think that's very good.
No, and they had that one impressive win a few months ago now. And no wonder they decided to pull the trigger on Mikel Stare. And no wonder.
Or 19 and 8.
4-19-8. That's San Jose's record. Red Bulls are traveling to Santa Clara to face the Quakes on Saturday evening, and the Red Bulls should be able to get the job done.
Yeah, I'm going to bet on the Quakes just because the odds are going to be spectacular for a home match. But yeah,
just
because. Because MLS, but look, the Red Bulls want to win the Shield.
Yeah.
And they had the big win last week, which kept the, had they lost that, the Shield race would have been pretty much over. That puts them in, not to just win the Shield. If they win out, I believe they can catch TFC's record from last year as well. Must win. Now, there are caveats to it. It is very difficult for a team on the East Coast to fly across the country and win on the West Coast. Historically speaking, there's just a terrible less than 1 point, you know, 1 point per game average in terms of that scenario. But this is, I don't know, it's not City Huddersfield divide. It isn't, but yeah. It's City, I don't know, Watford divide. It's not going to be something that would be easy for the Earthquakes, who are absolutely rudderless right now in terms of their direction, in terms of anything. Like, they have that new stadium. There's nothing to play for if you're San Jose. If you're a San Jose fan, I can't imagine a more hopeless scenario. You can't envision stars coming to you, although it's a beautiful part of the country.
It is. That's why I don't get it. It's like, you have a beautiful stadium, a beautiful part of town, the potential of a lot of fans because it's one of the most populated area in the United States. I don't know how, though, because the rent is like, terror, like, it's insane. You think Toronto's rent is as high? Go to San Francisco, go to San Jose, and talk about it after.
If it was the San Francisco Earthquakes, maybe they might be able to attract more superstars. Maybe, I'm not sure. Although we saw the Deltas, obviously, with their one-year wonder. I was playing Football Manager the other day, and I decided to try and sign Nana Adekora, and it was like I was negotiating with the Deltas, and I thought that was kind of funny. It was a blast of the past. The 1 year that the Deltas are in Football Manager, one and only year. But
one and only year. That's hilarious. Who was who was reporting on it? Because I remember when I was in Football Manager, and we probably will be more now with the Canadian Premier League. That was a fun time in my mind.
I was a Football Manager once too. Yeah, it was a long time ago now. My friend Alan, I helped him with some data, and as a reward, he put me in the game as an MLS reporter. It was kind of fun. I know you had the same thing, so that's cool.
Yeah, I remember a few years ago, a listener sends like, "Kev, did you know this? That I did a trade with the Impact, and you reported on it." They're like, "What? This is awesome!
Yeah.
FIFA, are there you listening? EA Sports,
yeah, exactly.
Put me in the game." Last game,
and I just quickly, we're going to review it. There, it comes out November 1st. So we'll do November 3rd, pardon me. So we'll review Football Manager there. But I was watching the demo, and they have like ultras and like flares and stuff in the stands now. So it's kind of fun. Anyway,
I thought it was just dots. I thought you just saw dots playing.
No, it's they have the crowd. It's getting better. The graphics are not exactly what you would call FIFA level, but they're better.
All right, that's good. Last game this weekend, DC United and Chicago. An important game if you are a Montreal Impact fan. You have to root for Chicago on the road. This will not end well. I know. I've seen this movie before. DC United is Rocky. Montreal is Drago. The movie doesn't end well.
No, well, yeah. I mean, they play DC United. This, if you're an Impact fan, you've got to be frightened of this when you look at the schedule, because they play Chicago twice.
Oh,
DC
geez.
Does. So that's, you got to hope that the Fire take something out of those two games. Otherwise, you know, the DC does control its destiny right now, right? They need to find one.
Yeah, they really do need to find a lucky goal. And look, because MLS, you never know. Chicago could get the result at Audi Field, and because things happen like this in MLS. So hopefully it can happen. Dwayne, before we move to England, let's just take a little quick break and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
Premier League result. And by the way, if you're looking for some Europa League coverage, don't worry. We know what happened. We know there was games yesterday. Chelsea beat Videoton 1-0. That was more difficult than anticipated. But there's so many games, so many teams, that it would take us a two-hour show just to do the rundown of what happened.
Is Videoton... like, isn't that like a 1980s video game movie?
No, I like Tron mixed with like a terrible movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you ever seen that movie Videodrome? That was terrible with John Woods.
I saw Tron.
Yeah, Tron
was pretty bad too.
Tron was pretty bad. But Videodrome, I actually studied that movie when I went to cinema school. That was such a terrible movie. But no, Videoton is not a... it's not a 80s movie about videos, or it's not like a cable company from Quebec either.
Quickly, Kevin went to you know, theater school there. I actually, the only course I've ever failed in my life was grade 9 of theater arts. So, we did bake cookies in theater arts in grade 9, and she didn't like my cookies. She just didn't like me. She had a thing against me, that woman, because I was goofy. Like, we used to do funny, like, boy humor, and she was like, oh, that kind of, like, theater. Yeah, so anyway, why I'm not an actor. Yeah, that's why I'm not an actor.
That's the only reason, yeah. Brighton, West Ham. Will West Ham go back to winning ways? That game is today, 3 p.m. Eastern, on Friday. Brighton, West Ham. West Ham coming off their big victory against Man United, but going on the road to the south of England, to Brighton, to face the Seagulls.
West Ham has looked good in the last few weeks, and they have the talent. Yeah. You know, I watch those games, and I have a soft spot for West Ham, both because I kind of like the underdog, and they are the underdog of London. Also, there's Pablo Zabaleta plays for them, and those that know me know that Pablo Zabaleta and I have a unique relationship. I'm looking at my phone right now, and I can see Pablo on my phone.
Well,
so, anyway,
a unique relationship. It's a one-way relationship where you have, where you have a relationship with Pablo Zabaleta, and Zabaleta's like, who?
Who? Exactly. Well, yes. No, but Pablo Zabaleta is a legend for Manchester City. Obviously, he moved to West Ham a couple years ago. We thought his legs were gone, but in the last couple weeks, Pellegrini, of course, who he played with at Manchester City, has found a way to get him back in and doing the stuff that he did well. He's not the only player, obviously, but the team has more talent than they were showing in the early weeks. Yeah. And Brighton just didn't do nothing last. I watched them last week closely. They just don't seem to have offer much. That's the bottom half of the league right now. They just don't seem to offer much. They just seem to want to play each other, the bottom half, get their points there, and survive the rest. It's kind of not making the most compelling thing.
Like, okay, park the bus. We just got there, but park the bus, stay behind the ball. Let's make sure they don't score five against us, and we're moving on to playing Huddersfield and trying to get the win there. Speaking of Huddersfield, Burnley-Huddersfield, the first game tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern. Burnley should continue on their run of success of last week. Huddersfield is a beatable opponent, and if you're Burnley, you fancy your chances to maybe even put a marker down there.
Yeah, this is a sleep-in day. I get up. I wake up at 7:30 pretty much every day, so I will watch the damn game, but... but if you were looking to sleep in, this might be a week to do it. It's not exactly your most compelling start to the weekend.
No, there's a Crystal Palace Wolves, which if you're a Wolves fan, it's a good potential to win away. You have Watford Bournemouth, which Watford should be able to get the job done against the Cherries at home. Leicester Everton, that might be one of the most compelling game at 10 a.m. tomorrow. But it's Leicester at home versus Everton, which never have been the same since all the changes of a few years ago. There's Tottenham-Cardiff City, but Tottenham should be able to go back to their winning ways and destroying Cardiff in this one after suffering a smack at Wembley against Barcelona midweek. So maybe Tottenham will beat Cardiff and Junior Hollet tomorrow at 10. Let's move to the most compelling games of the weekend. Man United...
Sunday.
Yeah, I know.
Super Sunday!
Man United-Newcastle, though, tomorrow, 12:30 p.m. You know, why not? Put money on Newcastle. Why not? Newcastle going to Old Trafford. That could be hilarious.
Look, I think United's probably, but four in a row. I would have to go back in the archives, and I'm sure we will learn this over the course of the weekend. The last time Manchester United went five without a win, it's got to be many years ago now.
It's pre-Premier League, because four is the first time since the 93. So I guess five must have been a long time ago.
Yeah, it's got to be back. Well, and obviously when Alex Ferguson took over, which was 84, I want to say, or maybe 85, 86, somewhere in there, he had some years where they struggled. In fact, you know, there was some suggestion that he might get fired after a certain FA Cup loss in the 80s. But we're talking about the 1980s here. We referenced Tron already in the show. So we're talking when Tron was a relevant modern reference, was the last time United was in this position. So it's hard to imagine it happening. But then again, it's hard to have imagined that United would start the way that they do. They do have 10 points. They're not like the worst team in the league or anything like that. But, you know, this if they were to lose this game, like every time – we say this every week, though. If they were to lose this one, it's hard to imagine how they could possibly keep Mourinho around. But they just keep doing it. They just keep trotting the special one out there. It's – who knows?
Yep. Who knows? That'll be interesting. All right, moving on to Sunday. When you were saying Super Sunday, you were obviously talking about this game, right? Fulham-Arsenal, 7 a.m. on Sunday morning.
It's a London derby.
It's a London derby. And a little news concerning Arsenal and Major League Soccer and Atlanta United. According to sources, per sources, Arsenal are going to sign Miguel Almiron for about between 11 to 13 million euros in January. And Miguel Almiron will go into the Premier League.
So less than Alphonso Davies.
Less than Davies. Wow. Wow, yeah. What happened to Miggy this year, right?
It's because he's older. 17-year-old's always going to get more money because there's more potential there and there's buy-ons and all that sort of stuff. He does seem like actually he'd be a good Arsenal fit, particularly under Emery right now. I think that would work out a great deal. They play a very kind of high-tempo, high-press game in Atlanta, similar to what Emery wants them to do in Arsenal. Arsenal's sneaky good. And we said this last week there when we were reviewing the games that, you know, they lost their first two. They didn't look great against City. They sort of sputtered against Chelsea. They had, you know, they couldn't defend worth anything in that Chelsea game early on. But since then, quietly, they've just got down to business with five in a row. And I think you have to give a little respect to that. And they seem to be building into this system. So Fulham is a team that has not been able to match. They haven't been able to adjust to the Premiership so far. And whether or not Premier League, I should say, whether or not they can, I don't know. It doesn't seem like this is where it's going to be. You know, this is, as I said, a London derby of sorts, but it's not exactly a historic one. Fulham and Arsenal don't really have a rivalry per se, other than the fact that their fans can travel easily to each other.
Yeah, and it's always
Fulham would view its derby as probably, well, Chelsea. They're like 3 miles apart, Chelsea, so that would be their main rivalry there.
But Craven Cottage is always a interesting stadium to see on air, probably to attend to. I don't know. I've never been there. But I missed old stadium with weird names. There used to be a mainstay in the Premier League, right? Craven Cottage. Oh, the cottage. Arsenal, the Gunners, going to the cottage.
It is. I have been to Craven Cottage, and if you ever go to London, it is actually worth a trip out to the West End of the city to see Craven Cottage. And you know, you might as well go see the bridge when you're there too, because they are walkable between them, and it's very much exactly how you would imagine an old school English grounds to look like. It's on the river. There's parkland around it. You can throw a rock from the gates and hit the front porch of houses across the street. You've got the statue there, which is quirky. It's neat. It's a neat place to see.
Southampton, Chelsea, speaking about the bridge, Sunday 9:15 a.m. Chelsea traveling to Southampton and fancy their chances to win against the Saints. I wouldn't be surprised. Chelsea will try to avenge their 1-1 draw of last week against Liverpool by winning on the road, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do so, especially when you have a player called Hazard.
Well, sure. Chelsea, they're funny. I've been listening to, obviously I listen to a lot of English shows each week to try and, you know, keep up to date and exactly the attitudes over there. And no one quite knows what to peg at Chelsea right now. Obviously, you can't ignore their record. You can't ignore that they're champions 2 years ago, but it's hard to put them in the same sentence as Liverpool and City so far, right? And but again, the record is winning. Again, they've got a guy like Hazard. I don't think Chelsea has the same depth to match City or the same firepower to match Liverpool, but certainly top to bottom and across the board, maybe they do. So the debate in England right now is whether or not it's a three-team race at the top or just a two-team race. And I think maybe this Super Sunday, so to speak, it's one game, really, is the super part of this. We'll get to that next, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's the last game of the weekend. It's Liverpool-Man City at 11:30 a.m. But it's interesting what you mentioned about Chelsea, too, because they're still learning and adjusting their playing system under Mauricio Sarri. They're still figuring out the instincts that the players need to have to execute the vision that Sarri does have. Vision filled with smoke. Poor Sarri, you know, in Premier League, you can't smoke on the sideline. And he's been eating a bunch of sunflower seeds and his nails and everything just to get through games.
So he's chewing on the cigarette once. Chewing on a cigarette. That's so gross.
That's so disgusting. Sarri seems disgusting, too, when you look at him. Like, yeah, are you in 2018 or did you just come out of 1972?
And well, you know, 1972, West London, different time, all good.
Liverpool, Man City, the game this weekend, the super game, the first game between the two this season in the Premier League. This is the two teams, at least for now, that we know will probably battle for the league. What is your prognostic?
Liverpool, if you'd asked me a week and a half ago, I would have made Liverpool a favorite based on their play and based on City's inability to, like, I use the term loosely because City obviously is undefeated and are sitting on top of the league. So they're not unable to do anything, but they have not looked, other than a couple 5-0 games that they've had, they have not looked like the explosive team that Liverpool has at times. But Liverpool has, you know, drawn Chelsea, lost to Chelsea, lost in the Champions League. They're not exactly entering this game flying as high as they were just a couple of weeks ago. So that said, you look at Liverpool's record against City last year, although the game this time last year, a year ago, was the one where there was the red card early and City blew the doors off the game. But after that, Liverpool was the first team to beat City. Liverpool took them out in the Champions League. Liverpool has had their number over the past few games, other than the one game where it was a little odd with that weird, you know, red card off the top, which was, I don't think it was, shouldn't be controversial. You know, when you nearly killed the goalkeeper, you probably deserve a red card. But nonetheless, it was an accidental red card. So, look, what's my prediction? My prediction is that we're going to take a lot of conclusions out of the end of the game, and that the winner, I said this midweek when I was watching the Champions League with a bunch of City people, I made a bold prediction that this would be, if the City could get a win in this game, then maybe they can start to think about that unspeakable thing that they might want to chase that I spoke of in the preseason in terms of not losing games in the Premier League all year. But that's probably a little too bold. But yeah. I do think that if City were to beat Liverpool, that would be a much greater statement in terms of where this title race is then the opposite. If Liverpool beats City, then they still have 20 some points to make up from last year. And there's still some vulnerabilities that we saw over the last week that make us think that maybe they're going to drop weird points in this year. City doesn't have the same problem. We all understand that City can lose to Liverpool. They have lost to Liverpool. We've seen it. But we don't think that City is going to slip up very often against the Fulhams, against the Arsenal. Against the Evertons, even. Like, against those mid-table teams. Hell, maybe against the Arsenals, whereas we can see Liverpool doing that. That's my point here.
Well, Liverpool lost midweek to Napoli. Yes, it was in Italy. It was in Naples. But still, they lost to Napoli 1-0. It doesn't matter if it's a goal late in the game that costs you the game. It's still a goal, and you still lost the game. So, yeah, Liverpool is doesn't have the aura of invincibility that Man City still has.
Yeah, and again, I have no doubt that if there was a playoff system in the Premier League, absolutely Liverpool could win that playoff. Liverpool could win the Champions League. Absolutely. They are good in that sort of two-game set sort of situation. Over the course of 38 games, I just don't think that they have it. And if they beat City, that will go a little bit towards making me think, okay, maybe. But if City beats Liverpool, psychologically coming off the last week that Liverpool has had, then I think that will be difficult for Liverpool to overcome. And it will be very difficult to argue that Liverpool has what it takes over 38 games if City could put them, so to speak, in their place this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, that's the weekend preview in a nutshell. We'll be back Monday with a review of the weekend. We'll take a look at the Canadian results in Major League Soccer, and we'll talk more about the world of football with a soccer perspective. As always, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute and myself at Kev Larame. Until Monday, we wish you a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcasts.